and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., your loyal host and producer of Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. You know, I'm going to have some voices for you to hear again today as you join me for another episode of Spiritual Perspectives, where we take a look at what's happening in, well, the realm of the spiritual. You know, last week, we listened to some people talk about what they believe about God. We were taking a look at some things that Pew Research has unearthed, discovered, if you will, about what people really mean when they say they believe in God. And of course, I'm asking you to join me in doing some self-examining, some self-exploring, as we answer the question ourselves. What do we mean when we say we believe in God? What does each of us mean when we say, I believe in God? I want to join again some of the street ministry where people were posing this question, asking people what they believe about God, if they believe about God. There is going to be an interesting turn of events that will take place in this conversation, this first conversation that we're going to hear. And it's going to, some of you may recognize the voice. We actually heard the voices of the first people who we're going to hear from today. But then it's going to be followed by another conversation where the simple question is going to be asked, do you believe in God? And the answer, the response that the man who asks this question is going to be given is going to be amazing. It is going to be intriguing. It really captivated me. We're going to talk some more about what Pew found out when it comes to what people believe when they are asked the question, do they believe in God? But first, let's return to the streets, hear what people were saying.
That's the point.
Yo, hold on.
You know anything about religion?
Yeah.
What do you believe?
Give me the mic.
No. I'm asking you a question.
Psalms.
Okay.
Say a prayer.
We're trying to establish Paul and James.
Psalms 121.
All right, what's Psalms 121? You want us to go to Psalms 121?
Tell me to read it out loud.
This is the part that we were hearing. This is the part that we were hearing last week. But we're going to continue with it now. Check this out.
Defending our path.
All right. Psalms 121.
All right. Read on.
I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore.
Amen. Beautiful scripture. Thank you, brother. And the Lord's going to fight your battle right now. Go back to James and John. Here you go.
And read 123.
Okay, that was it. One request only.
123.
One request only. Let's go back to the conversation.
Two requests. 123.
No, we're going
to
go back.
The gentleman who just asked them to read Psalm 121, they were supposed to be studying and talking from the book of John, James or John. And this gentleman said, hey, you know, I know about religion. I want you to read Psalm 121. So they went on ahead and deviated from the course of the discussion, which should have been on James and John, and went on to kind of placate them. They read Psalm 121. You just heard the gentleman with the Bible read that. Now the gentleman who insisted that they read Psalm 121 is insisting that they read Psalm 123. And the gentleman who was helping to lead the discussion, letting them know, just one special request, that's it.
No, we're going to get back to the conversation.
Bro, they're having a conversation.
God bless you too. Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
No.
Why not? He wrote this.
Listen, just do me a favor, read 123.
No, okay, do me a favor and accept Christ, and then we'll read it. You want to accept Christ right now?
Now, check out this turn of events. This is the same guy who is insisting, who insists that they read Psalm 121. Then he insisted that they read Psalm 123. They wouldn't do that for him. He's wearing a white T-shirt. And basically did not believe in God. But now, after having had the scripture, that one passage read per his request, the question is now, the challenge is being offered to him. Do you know Jesus? Accept Jesus. Check out what happens.
Okay, say Lord Jesus.
Lord.
Now he's being led in the prayer of salvation. The gentleman who was leading the discussion challenged him to accept Jesus into his life right now, right there on the street corner. A wide street. This is a big street. Looks like they're in a big city. I don't know which one, but it looks like it's a pretty big city. On the corner, literally on the corner, looks like it's downtown. Whatever city they're in, it looks like it's a downtown area. A lot of people walking past, a lot of people. And he challenged this young man, invited this young man to go ahead and accept Jesus into his life right now. And he's leading, the man agreed to do it right then, right there. And he's leading this young man in the prayer of salvation.
Jesus.
Come into my life.
Come into my life.
I believe I'm a sinner. I believe that I'm a sinner.
I believe that I'm a sinner.
And I repent from my sins.
And I repent from all my sins.
I believe you died on the cross for me.
I believe you died on the cross for me.
That you rose on the third day.
You rose on the third day.
And that you're in heaven.
And you're in heaven.
Preparing a place for me.
I hope you're there for me.
Preparing a place for me.
Preparing a place for me. Come into my heart.
I submit my life to you.
I submit my life to
come
you.
Into my heart right now.
Come into my heart right now.
And be the God of my life.
And be the God of my life. In
Jesus' name I pray.
Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
For all.
Now, listen, he just finished praying the prayer, asking Jesus to come into his life. And he put the mic there.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Jesus' name I pray.
Now, notice this. The gentleman who was leading the discussion wasn't putting the microphone at the mouth of the gentleman who was receiving Jesus into his life. The gentleman who was making all that noise, actually, when he began praying the prayer of salvation, he extended his hand and brought the mic to his mouth so that he could speak into the mouth as he was praying the prayer of salvation. Now listen to the rest of it.
Pray.
Amen.
For all my niggas out there, amen.
No.
Amen, amen. Okay, go.
Now listen to this.
You
got listen to this.
Bro?
God bless you.
Yeah, yeah. You do? You read it?
No, I don't got a Bible.
You want a Bible?
Yeah,
he's getting him a Bible now since he said he doesn't have one.
Here, read the book of John, man.
The book of John. I want a real Bible.
You want a whole Bible? Okay. I want.
So he pulled out a blue Bible that is just the book of John. So it's a thin Bible, just that one book. And the man who just prayed the prayer salvation is saying, oh, no. I want a real. He said, I want a real Bible.
Let's see if you can tell the difference.
Get that shit out of here.
If he can tell the difference, you deserve a real Bible, bro. There you go. It's a real one. God bless. What's your name, man?
Brandon
Durant. Respect, brother. Respect. Good scripture. God bless you, bro. Read the book of John. Read the book of John. Jesus.
So this conversation led to the prayer of salvation. Let's not be judgmental. You know, just because the person wasn't falling down on their knees and shedding up half a ton of tears or half a gallon of tears, that doesn't necessarily mean that nothing took place. Just because he said what he said towards the end there, that doesn't mean that nothing happened in his heart. He requested a Bible. When asked if he had a Bible, he said, no, I don't have one. And he made it clear he wants a real Bible. I think that's worth something. Yeah, I do. I think that's worth something. That means something. But here's the key. although I don't even know when that conversation took place. It was published August of 2017. Maybe that's when it took place. I really don't know. But I do know this. It's good for us to be praying that God will be continually working with that same young man. If he's still alive this day, Lord, be working with him so that he'll remember that conversation on that street corner that day and not take it lightly, but take it very, very seriously. Get in line with you and allow you to do fully in his life, progressively in his life, what you want to do. Give him power and grace to flow with you. Pray for him. All right, so back to what we were learning from what Americans mean when they say they believe in God. We're going to come back to this street corner ministry later, and I definitely want you to hear one of the responses that was given when a gentleman was asked if he believes in God. The response he gave really caught my attention. And you'll see why when we go back to it. But for now, more about what Pew discovered. One of the things that they say is that nearly all adults who say they believe in the God of the Bible, remember, when they were asking this question about people believing in God, one of the questions that they wanted clarification on is when people said they do believe in God. Is this God they believe in the God of the Bible or some other God? All right, so nearly all the adults who say they believe in the God of the Bible say they think God loves all people regardless of their faults and that God has protected them. More than 9 in 10 people who believe in the biblical God envisage a deity who knows everything that goes on in the world, and nearly 9 in 10 say God has rewarded them and has the power to direct or change everything that happens in the world. Do you believe all of those things about God? Those of you who believe in the God of the Bible, do you believe that God loves you regardless of your faults? Now, it's easy for me to ask that question. It's actually pretty easy for a lot of people to answer that question and say, yes, I believe God loves all people regardless of their faults. Now, here's something I want to ask you about that. When you settle yourself down and you stop thinking about what you have to do 5 minutes from now, what you're going to be working on 30 minutes from now, the game that you want to play, you know, the basketball game you have planned for 2 hours from now. When you settle yourself down, get your spirit quiet, let your mind slow down, stop racing, and you start reviewing your life carefully, honestly, thoroughly. And you start thinking about the many, many good things that you've done. But you also start thinking about the many things that you have done that you would rather no human on earth know about. And if you've done what you've done that you should not have done, with other people or one other person, and you don't want anyone else to know about it, do you still believe that God loves you regardless of all your faults? Think about the things that you've done that, you know, should not have been done, but it wasn't a major. You know, I know some people say that sin is sin and all sin is the same. That's actually not true. That's not what God teaches us in his written word. God lets us know in his written word that there are sins, and then there are sins that he considers to be abominable, especially detestable to him. Sin is sin in that sin is not righteousness. But not all sin is created equal. There are some sins that are worse than others. And to prove to you that you believe that, let me share this example with you. There are many true Christians. I mean, they are genuinely Christians who may not have that difficult a time admitting, opening up and just volunteering that they got real mad at somebody while they were driving home from work and somebody just rudely cut in front of them. And then they change into another lane and speed it up so they could try to cut back in front of that person and get back at them. That's being vindictive, which is a sin. But there are a lot of Christians who don't mind volunteering that they committed that sin. There are far fewer Christians who have committed adultery and they would voluntarily admit to a congregation that they committed that sin. Because just deep down inside, and it maybe not even have to go deep, they know that that adultery was a worse sin than wanting to cut back in front of somebody who cut in front of them. Both of those are sins. Because again, you want to cut back in front of them, you're trying to get back at them. You're being vindictive. And the Lord said, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay." Even though it has to do with a driving offense, it is still vindictive. That's sinful. And we know that. But a lot of Christians are very, very comfortable confessing that sin. And the same ones who would confess that sin fairly easily and readily would be absolutely opposed to even admitting if someone asked them if they committed adultery. They wouldn't want to admit that. And some Christians would begin to pile sin on top of sin by lying. That's a sin. And saying they'd never committed adultery when they know they have. Ask them if they ever cut in front of somebody on the streets who cut in front of them. They might actually laugh and say, "Yes, I have done that." They'll admit that. The same person will not admit they committed adultery. Because even if it's only on a subconscious level, we know that not all sin is the same. That said, there are people who have a very, very difficult time truly being persuaded, being convinced that God truly loves them regardless of all their faults. There are people who think that there are some sins that they have committed that are just unforgivable. And when I say unforgivable, I'm not talking about their concern is that other people won't forgive them. Oh, we know that there are some people who won't forgive them, but that's not their main concern. Their main worry is that God won't forgive them. Not for that sin. No, not for this one. And don't let them have had sex with a member of the same gender while professing Christianity. There are some people who will lie to themselves and twist the scripture all kinds of ways and say, God has no problem with homosexuality. But there are people who know, they're convinced that the scripture is clear that God strongly disapproves of homosexuality and disapproves of same-sex relationships, same-sex sexual relationships. And there are a lot of people who would have a very, very, very difficult time believing that God would forgive them for having sex with a member of the same gender. It's easy for us to say, yeah, I believe that God loves all people regardless of their faults. But when we really take the time to sit down, think about, evaluate, examine our lives, how many people, if they really, really thought it through, would say, hey, you know what? I know I should believe that, but I really don't. I'm not convinced that God truly loves us regardless of all our faults. It is true. He does love us regardless of all of our faults. The key to it is for us to grow to the point where we say, hey, you know what? We want to give our all to him. With all this love God has for me, to forgive me for all these faults, all this stuff I've done, lies I've told as I've denied these sins that I know I've committed, and he's still allowing me to live. He's still allowing me the 1,000th opportunity to get it right. All these years of hypocrisy, and he still loves me enough to have people working with me, trying to encourage me to get my act together. I've got to get it together. I've got to finally submit. I've got to finally submit and let God do the work in me that he has so long been trying to do.